Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. On this evening's show, we're going to try to keep from getting off course, we're going to celebrate the happiest place on earth, and celebrate a giant hot dog. But to get us started, we're going to do some dreaming. This past week on July 16th in 1934, the NBC Red radio network premiered the musical drama Dreams Come True. It was a show about baritone singer Barry McKinley and his novelist sweetheart. So here are some songs about dreams, starting off with Hal Kemp and his orchestra.
Thank you. not the time to care. 'Cause I've got a pocket full of dreams, and it's my universe, even with an empty purse. For I've got a pocket full of dreams. Wouldn't take the wealth on Wall Street for a road where nature trots. And I calculate I'm worth my weight in golden rods. Lucky, lucky me, I can live in luxury. For I've got a pocket full of dreams. Thank you.
some dreamy songs to commemorate the debut on July 16, 1934 of Dreams Come True on the NBC Red Radio Network. We just heard Joe Sanders and Carlton Kuhn vocalizing on Why Don't My Dreams Come True? Kuhn Sanders' original Nighthawk Orchestra in Chicago on April 7, 1924. Joe Rickelson played trumpet, Nick Mussolini was on trombone, Harold Thiel and John Thiel were on clarinet and alto sax, Orville Knapp on clarinet and tenor sax, Joe Sanders played piano, Dewey Bird strummed the banjo, Pop Estep was on brass bass, and of course Carlton Kuhn on drums. But I have no idea which of those guys played that slide whistle at the end. Before Why Don't My Dreams Come True, it was Chick Webb's Savoy Orchestra and If Dreams Come True. William Chick Webb was born on February 10, 1909. He traveled to New York in 1925 and the following year formed a quintet called the Harlem Stompers. Chick Webb was one of the first innovators of the drums, and he influenced countless drummers around the world with his technical skills. In 1929, his band recorded for the first time, and from 1931 to 35, the band was resident at the Savoy Ballroom, and the Savoy's owner, Mo Gale, was Webb's manager. In 1934, Webb discovered Ella Fitzgerald, and her professional career started in his orchestra. Unfortunately, Chick Webb died on June 19, 1939, at just 30 years of age. If Dreams Come True was written and arranged by Webb's alto saxophonist, Edgar Sampson. If Dreams Come True was preceded by Dick Juergens and his orchestra, with Eddie Howard performing vocally on I've Got a Pocket Full of Dreams, from a radio transcription. And Skinny Innes, backed by Hal Kemp and his orchestra, started the show with an Irving Berlin song from the picture The Coconuts, When My Dreams Come True, from 1929. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. So far, we're on course, and we'll try to stay that way when we return right after this. This past week, on July 17th in 1938, Douglas Corrigan, an unemployed airplane mechanic, filed a flight plan for Los Angeles, California, and took off from Floyd Bennett Field in New York. 28 hours later, he landed his 1929 Curtiss not in California, but in Baldonnel, near Dublin, Ireland. Corrigan made the 3,150-mile flight without the benefit of a radio and no navigational equipment other than a compass. His explanation for the colossal mistake was that he was following the wrong end of the compass needle. He returned to the U.S. as a hero, even receiving a ticker tape parade, and became known as Wrong Way Corrigan. Although he never admitted it, his mistake was undoubtedly designed to get back at aviation authorities who had turned down his request to make a transatlantic flight. Douglas Corrigan played himself in the 1938 movie The Flying Irishman. So here's a set of songs in commemoration of Wrong Way Corrigan, starting off with Ben Pollack and his orchestra. Thank you.
or weather, singing a song, finding a long way home. Remember, I used to sigh at the end of each day, dear. Time seemed to fly, we had so much to say, dear. Say, dear, wish you and I could be together.
Thank you. it suit you on a choo-choo fairy tray all day?
No, no, no.
Wouldn't you rather fly a fly away to Iowa? Down in old Dubuque, there's a cozy nook where the church bells chime.
But for old Des Moines, my fat heart joins in
three-quarter time. Go and pack your Annie's panties
and your dad's toupee.
Soon we're gonna fly a fly away to Iowa.
Some songs to commemorate Wrong Way Corrigan's inadvertent transatlantic flight on July 17, 1938. We started off with Ben Pollack and his Park Central Orchestra from May 27, 1929, with Scrappy Lambert performing the vocal on Finding the Long Way Home. That was from a rare test pressing. In the band and giving some fine solos, Jimmy McPartland on cornet, Jack Teagarden trombone, and Benny Goodman on clarinet. Then, with words and music by Irving King, it was the California Ramblers with Billy Jones taking the vocal on Show Me the Way to Go Home from December 5, 1925. Show Me the Way to Go Home was followed by Fly Away to Iowa, Ted Fiorito and his orchestra with the female vocal trio The Debutantes from December 13, 1933. Fly Away to Iowa was from the picture Hollywood Party, starring Jimmy Durante and including Laurel and Hardy. Durante does a takeoff on Tarzan, taking on a ferocious lion, and smack in the middle of the picture is a Disney cartoon about some chocolate soldiers who melt in the sun. And we finished up with Ferdinand Jelly Roll Morton and his orchestra, recording on July 9, 1929 in Camden, New Jersey, and Down My Way. And you're hearing it all on Rapidly Rotating Records with yours truly, Glenn Robison. Have a request? Have a comment about the show? We'd love to hear from you. You can send email to glenn@glennrobison.com, GLENNROBISON. Or you can also send cards, letters, or rare mint condition 78s to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. You're also invited to stop by the website at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. We'll be back to celebrate the happiest place on earth when we return right after this. This past week on July 17th in 1955, Walt Disney opened the gates to the happiest place on earth, Disneyland, in Anaheim, California. In its first year of operation, 4 million people visited Main Street USA, Fantasyland, Frontierland, and Tomorrowland. On its opening day, Disneyland broadcast a TV special featuring Walt Disney, Bob Cummings, Art Linkletter, and Ronald Reagan. I'm proud to say that my father did the aerial photography for the construction of not only Disneyland, but also for Knott's Berry Farm. So here to celebrate the happiest place on earth are some hap-hap-happy songs, starting off with Bob Zirk and his Delta Rhythm Band.
Mm-hmm. happy. Why don't you let me prove to you that my love is true? Anything to make you happy. Can't you see I adore you? I'd do anything for you. Can't you understand? I'm at your command. Anything to make you happy.
This may have been a set of happy songs to commemorate the opening of Disneyland, but the first song we heard, It's a Hap Hap Happy Day, was from Gulliver's Travels, which was produced by the Fleischer brothers, Max and Dave. It's a Hap Hap Happy Day was written by Sammy Timberg, who also supplied songs for Popeye and Betty Boop, and who also composed the first Superman theme for the Fleischer cartoons. The theme for the Superman television series was written by Leon Klatskin. But I digress. It's a Hap Hap Happy Day was performed there by Bob Zirk and his Delta Rhythm Band. Then it was banjoist guitarist Elmer Snowden and the musical Stevedores, a pickup group he put together for a single recording session on January 30th, 1929, which produced Happy Rhythm, written by Clarence Williams. Happy Rhythm was followed by Anything to Make You Happy from an Edison Diamond disc. That was Allen's Music Makers. Just a reminder, in case you didn't realize it, you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records with yours truly, Glenn Robison. I mentioned a giant hot dog at the beginning of the show. We'll find out what that's all about when we return right after this. Last week, on July 18th in 1936, the first Oscar Mayer Wienermobile rolled out of General Body Company's factory in Chicago. The idea of a 13-foot hot dog on wheels was the brainchild of Carl G. Mayer, nephew of the founder of the Oscar Mayer Company. The Wienermobile carried the world's smallest chef, Little Oscar, around the streets of Chicago, promoting the company's German-style wieners. Five new Wienermobiles were built between 1950 and 1953 and hit streets across the country, including, I might add, San Bernardino, where I was living at the time and actually got to meet Little Oscar. And you got an Oscar Mayer Wiener whistle, too, which I wish I still had. Those Wienermobiles were designed by Gerstenlager of Worcester, Ohio, built on a Dodge chassis, were now 22 feet long, and had a sound system and a sunroof. One of the most photographed artifacts at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan, is a pristine 1952 Wienermobile. The next generation of Wienermobile was designed by Brooks Stephen and featured a clear bubble front end and buns. It was built on a Willys Jeep chassis. Of two Wienermobiles built at Oscar Mayer headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin in 1969, one is now in Puerto Rico and one still tours the U.S. A 1976 Wienermobile, built on a 1973 Chevy motorhome chassis, now tours Spain, along with two of the six 23-foot fiberglass mobile hot dogs built in 1988. The latest iteration of the Wienermobile was designed in California in 1995 by Harry Bradley. It is 27 feet long, 11 feet high, and underwent wind tunnel testing at the California Institute of Technology. Right now, there are six Wienermobiles on the road somewhere in the world. So here, to commemorate the Wienermobile, are some songs about, you guessed it, wieners.
To meet the girlfriend, oh boy, I feel proud. I want to holler out loud. Hear that grandstand cheering, oh boy, my skies are clearing. With a hot dog, a blanket, and you. There's our team in action. Now I'll get satisfaction from a hot dog, a blanket, and you. Gee, what a sight, oh, what a fight. Look at the fullback go. Boy, what a play, he'll get away. Hold that tiger. Gee, I'm feeling silly. Please pass the pick-a-lily with a hot dog, a blanket, and you.
What kind of a school do you think that we've got? If I had my way, you'd be put on a spot. Now, here is a cheer that has plenty heart, so give him everything you've got. The only way to make us cheer is give us back our pre-war beer.
Thank you. of a gun. I'm wild about his hot dog. I'm wild about his hot dog. Oh, I'm wild about his hot dog. Honey, in his hot dog stand.
Ikey, Moses, Jake, and Sam, we're the boys who don't eat ham. Baseball, football, swimming in a tank. We've got the money, but we keep it in the bank. Yay, team! We started out this You May Already Be a Wiener set of songs with Gene Cardos and his orchestra and the college football song A Hot Dog, A Blanket, and You, written by J. Fred Coots and Charles Newman. That Victor record was recorded on October 23, 1931. And, of course, you can't have a hot dog without mustard, so we had some hot mustard, served up by Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra. That Vocalion disc was recorded in New York City on December 8, 1926. And we finished up with Black Bob on piano and Big Bill Brunzi on guitar, backing Lil Johnson on Sam the Hot Dog Man, from a Vocalion disc recorded in Chicago on April 22, 1936. Lil Johnson recorded more than 60 songs with titles such as Hot Nuts, My Stove's in Good Condition, and You'll Never Miss Your Jelly Till Your Jelly Roller's Gone. Despite their off-color nature, most of them were issued. There's even a cocktail known as the Lil Johnson. 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of Jack Daniels, and 1 ounce of Rose's lime juice poured over ice in a Collins glass. And now that this show's over, I may just go enjoy a Lil Johnson. You've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm Glenn Robison, inviting you to click in or tune in again next week for more toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. In the meantime, your comments and requests are welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@glennrobison.com, GlennRobison, or sent by postal mail to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. You're also invited to stop by the website, rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, where you can sign up to receive the weekly playlist by email and to play the Jeopardy-type vintage music trivia game. And as always, I do thank you for your very kind attention.